Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo, and Happy New Year. Coming up on today's show, we'll revisit some of our favorite stories about making a buck and keeping your head above water in our coastal economy. In just a bit, we'll hear from Kenny, a man who until recently lived outdoors in a tent, including during the worst of Superstorm Sandy. We'll also head to Tangier Island and talk with a waterman about the challenges of earning a living on the Chesapeake Bay and how those difficulties are transforming the lives of people who've called Tangier their home for generations. But first, we bring you the story from our Living the Dream series from last summer. In that series, we explored the realities of living near the beach year-round. The first people we interviewed were Keith and Renee Raffensperger, an Ocean Pines couple with three young girls and busy jobs as bartenders. Keith and Renee make much of their yearly income in the summer, of course. But last year, the height of the tourist season coincided with an exciting event, the birth of their new baby girl.
Well, we tried to see if we could plan to have the baby ideally in the wintertime, because that way we wouldn't miss much money and much work in the summertime. But obviously it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah. I think this one here had a different plan. Yeah. Say, in a perfect world, we would have... We tried to time it out as best we could. In a perfect world, it would have been January, February. Like, hey, we don't really have a whole lot else going on then. Yeah. Let's play with a newborn. But it didn't quite pan out that way. Yeah. So this one here wound up being born, the week before Memorial weekend, which is... You know, for where we live and what we do, that's almost worst possible case scenario, but it worked out pretty well.
Yeah. So, Renee, are you back to work?
Not yet. I'm still on maternity leave. She's only 3 weeks old, so I'm still out on maternity leave trying to figure out how I can get back for the canoe race at my work, because that's the busiest day of the year. Yeah.
So you're anxious to get back and try and, you know, get back this summer?
I'd like to at least get some of the summer in, but we have to figure in... You know, child care, who are we gonna get to watch all three kids so I can go to work, and I'm still nursing the little ones, so I gotta figure that in as well. You know, I gotta get the whole beating down.
And you know, you're also at the same time you're going back to school for nursing. Mm-hmm. Talk about, you know, I guess that being part of your long term plan, and I guess when you would like to eventually maybe step away from the bar business.
I have two more years of school, and then hopefully I can exit the bar business after that. Until then, I'm just going to have to figure out how to juggle going to school and working part-time and taking care of my kids. And, you know, you do what you got to do to get where you need to be, I think.
You know, a lot of people that live here, you know, they always talk about how, you know, lonely the winters can get and how mellow it can be, especially from a money-making perspective. Talk about the winter time and even no matter how slow it gets, why you've always, you know, continued to stay and call this home.
Well, I mean, the winters, the first couple down here were pretty rough until I realized it had to be the ant instead of the grasshopper. You know, if you can budget accordingly and have somebody to spend it with, it makes it a whole lot more tolerable. Once you get the swing of it, I mean, like I said, after 24 winters here, if I haven't figured it out by now, it's a little too late.
Talk about how life has changed. You know, obviously, whenever you become a parent, life changes. But how does that change for people who live here on the coast, who work kind of that unorthodox restaurant industry lifestyle?
Well, we try to be as 50-50 as we can. We sort of take turns. And the youngest one is still... feeding from a source that I'm not equipped to deal with. So I keep the monitor for the one-year-old on my side of the bed. And so we try to keep it going, squeeze in a nap where we can. Yeah. But, you know, it's in this line of work, you get some pretty odd hours. There's nights I don't get home until 4 or 4:30 in the morning, and a lot of times the day is starting at 6:30.
Right.
So, but since the reward is so great, you kind of figure out a way to make it work. You know, I've gotten less sleep for worse reasons at points in my life, so this one's pretty well worth it.
For the people that come down here and the people that you basically are waiting on a nightly basis in the restaurant that you work, what are their comments when they say, hey, what do you do for a living? And, or, you know, what do you do outside of here? Do you find that people feel like the last thing they would think of a bartender would be, you know, to be a father of three little kids? I mean, do you find a disconnect that people, you know, don't really consider bartending a career?
It's actually funny. One of the questions I get often is, so what else do you do? As if that couldn't possibly be my career. There's no way I do just that. And then there's just a shocked look when people find out that I'm married and I have children and I actually raised them. And I'm not, I'm either tending bar all night, then I sleep till 2 in the afternoon and then carry a surfboard across the street and then take a nap. That's kind of the perception, and it's really not that at all. And then people laugh when I tell them, pretty much with three little ones at home, the only way I'm in a bar is when I'm standing behind one. It's funny how shocked people get. I mean, it's almost the initial shock that people actually live here. They don't just bus bartenders and waiters in every day and then take them back across the bridge at night. Like, now this is my home. We have kids and schools and everything.
Do you guys find it hard when trying to budget, bills, feeding the kids, groceries, that kind of thing, especially in the wintertime when things are much sparser? But do you find it hard to budget when, much of a bartender's salary is tips related and you don't really know what you're going to make on a particular number?
Yes, that's actually, upon further review, that's probably a bigger challenge than the lack of sleep. We've actually almost made the budgeting thing a game. Like the 7-year-old, her favorite thing is to sit on the floor and roll coins. She thinks that's great, and I'm like, perfect. That works well for all of us, which she does quite a bit in February and March. And even as far as like meals, the same 7-year-old, one of her favorite shows is Chopped. So when it's been a little while since we've been to the grocery store in the dead of winter, we'll go in the kitchen. I'll be like, all right, Kylie, what's in the basket? And she'll start opening cabinets and pull out whatever we have. She's like, here you go, Dad. And then we make a meal together. So we've had the whole budgeting thing is actually, it's so bizarre, we've almost made it fun. Yeah. To a point where we're like, all right, well, here we are. We're going to get by. We just got to figure out how to do it. And there's no point in being miserable. We may as well make it fun. And I did develop a habit a few years ago of, I stuff a couple bucks every night into a Crown Royal bag, and that's the emergency fund. You know, in theory, it's vacation or retirement fund, but it's never gotten that far.
When you speak to people who don't live here, friends of yours that live kind of off the island, proverbially speaking, do they ever say, especially now that you just had another baby and you have young kids, do they ever kind of question the choices that you've made career-wise and maybe say, don't you guys think that you should be doing something else? And I guess, how do you feel if they do say that?
It's interesting. It's like my life has actually come full circle in that respect because, I say half tongue-in-cheek, I came down here for senior week and didn't leave. It's just pretty accurate, but not totally spot on. And like once I got into my late 20s, I would see my friends I went to high school with, and they would come over and they would kind of look down their noses at me like, you're still doing this, aren't you going to grow up? And then in the 30s, it was like people almost like gained an acceptance of it. Then they started having wives and kids. And then by mid-30s, there was just people kind of looking at me, green with envy, thinking, wow. I really kind of want your life. And now it's come all the way back around to the point. I'm in my 40s. I'm still at the beach. I'm still doing this. I'm still working the restaurant business. And now I have friends of mine who used to have big offices and huge cushy jobs and basically in lines of work that are systematically becoming obsolete. And they went from their six-figure salaries to calling me and saying, is there any chance you can get me a job, as a waiter? So I've had ups and down feelings about myself for staying in this profession throughout my life, but all in all, I'm like, you know what, I love what I do, I'm good at it, and I'm in one of the few professions that'll never become obsolete. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're not going to reinstate prohibition, that didn't go too well the first time, so yeah, I feel pretty safe in what I do.
Renee, what do you think is the biggest misconception that people who visit here think about people who live here?
From the people I've encountered that come to my job, they all seem to think it's a big party all the time. Even, oh, well, what do you do in the winter if you can't go to the beach and you can't go to play golf and you can't have a party? Well, we do the same thing anybody else does in the winter. We take our kids to school in the morning and we shovel the driveway and we go to the grocery store and the bank just like everybody else. It's not a great big party. It's normal life just like it is everywhere else.
Could you picture raising your growing little family anywhere else?
And every once in a while you get to the end of your rope and like, well, let's just up and move. And then and look at each other and think, well, where would we go? You know, and we can't think of anywhere that we'd rather be than here. You know, and it's, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we got a house on the water. The kids can, I mean, you know, Kylie can lay in bed and look out over water every day of her life and see, I mean, there's a blue heron out on my deck right now. And we've reached the point where we don't take this area and its amenities for granted anymore. We think, wow, you know what, this is actually pretty cool. What a great place to grow up. And the kids seem happy so far.
Great schools. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's in a Blue Ribbon school district. She's getting great teachers, and she's learning, you know, she's doing great in school. So why sacrifice a great, and that's what's important, is the school for the kids, you know, and why try and go somewhere else that might not have as good a school?
Yeah. So it you know, it's just like any parent will tell you, the struggle is made worth it when they see how happy their kids are. Are those the things that make it all worth it? Those little moments on the beach, the taking your kids and dropping them off to school, seeing the sunrise over, that makes all the struggle of working and the uncertainty of the tourism business all the more worth it?
Absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, it really is. It's the little intangibles that people don't realize and don't see. And like Kylie here, like pretty much every chance we get, she and I'll sit out on the back deck and watch the sunset over the canal. And, you know, we had a conversation one time about how cool sunsets are, and you want to see as many as you can because you never know when it's going to be your last one. She thought that was pretty cool. So it's one of our little Kylie daddy moments, is we'll sit out there and watch the sunset. But yeah, I mean, there's so much to do here that you do almost take some things for granted, but we try to keep it in perspective and not let that be all-consuming.
That was Keith and Renee Raffensberger talking about their life here on the coast, working in the restaurant industry, and raising their three beautiful little girls. If there's somebody that you think that we should be profiling here on our Living the Dream series, send us an email at coastal@wamu.org. You're listening to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo.
Tell them to, it's true.